This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. When life locks down the performance scene, what choice is there but to innovate? Flint-based musician Tunde Olanaran is one of several artists part of the University Musical Society's Digital Artist Residency. Over the course of their time, they'll be releasing 4 singles and inviting audiences to participate in the creative process as the music takes shape for a forthcoming full-length album. Talk about an artist who feels made for a time of upheaval and change. Tunde Olanaran joins us now from Flint. Tunde, how you doing?
Hey, April. I'm doing all right. It has been a really interesting week, for sure.
We have talked to so many artists who are in so many different places right now with respect to their music. Can you tell us what life looks like for you these days?
Sure. I pretty much, you know, my mother used to work in public health, as did I, and I took the pandemic really seriously from, you know, early March. So I have been pretty seriously social distancing and isolating for most of the year. And I have had to really try to adapt to, you know, connecting with people virtually and remotely. Thankfully, I kind of made my peace with the fact that I was, you know, going to be home and could, after that point, just really focused on what next, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the new single you're dropping this week. It's called WDWHI, which stands for We Don't Want to Hear It.
Yeah.
It's got such a shine on it. This beautiful, breezy exterior that is in deep contrast with some of the lyrics. Can you tell us a little bit about when you started thinking about this song?
Yeah, I was working with a frequent collaborator named Steve Saputo, and I knew I was going to be heading to LA to work on some stuff with some other producers and writers, and I wanted to start a few different songs. So he and I were just in his basement, in like, you know, in Troy, in a studio, and we just had this dun da dun dun da dun, like kind of repeating chord progression, and I think I just started writing. Ain't this the life? Don't it live up to the hype?
Don't it live up to the hype? What more could anyone dream? Got a big TV, flat screen, big salary. I got an app that told me when to eat. I got an app that helped me go to sleep. Now what could be sweeter than the 21st century?
Just that feeling of feeling kind of not just complacent, but maybe like apathetic, maybe feeling isolated and trying to use, I guess the best word is consumption, to like feel good.
To fill the void.
Basis. Yeah, to fill the void, but to also like distract yourself when things feel overwhelming. And I think all of us have felt at some point this year overwhelmed by what is happening. I think also like the way we live is kind of very isolated now, sometimes by design. And I think it allows us to just not have a lot of unity and solidarity. So there's just all these different themes going through my mind as I wrote that. But then musically, I was thinking about like really amazing like pop records. And I was really especially thinking about Swedish pop, like Robin, for example. And
yeah.
some of these writers who have written a lot of these nostalgic pop songs, and how there was this really glorious wall of vocals. And then even the cheesier things, like, I mean, no shade at all, but like Mandy Moore, Dream, like those kinds of nostalgic pop records. So yeah, all that stuff was in my mind going into making this track. So yeah, there's a lot under the surface.
I think under other circumstances, it would be awesome and fun to say, wow, this song works on so many levels, but the levels that it can be applicable to in 2020, you know, this song could be a lens for the disproportionate impact of the COVID virus and how some communities are dealing with it, and some have not had to this point.
Exactly.
We could use this song to understand the public reckoning over racism in the wake of George Floyd's murder. There are just a huge number of people who might show up in many aspects of American life lately, ready to slip back into normal. It sounds like that's not a place you're ready to be right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of about an internal fight to to not be isolated and to not be apathetic, really, at the core of the song. And recognizing that there are habits that I have that, like, would allow me to just completely ignore what's happening, you know, around me. And it's like a personal dialogue in some ways that I hope can apply to other people. And the song itself, the chorus is, we don't want to hear it. We don't. It's harsh truths that a lot of us or certain people have been able to ignore. I'm not trying to solve these problems. I'm just like, this is just a feeling. This is something that is a reality that some of us experience, or some of us watch other people have the luxury of experiencing, you know?
Mm-hmm. The lyrics speak to so many kinds of division. What's the flag on your lawn? To what religion do you belong? And then there are those subtweet lines about, you know, with the discord woven in. Maybe we've been wrong all along. We don't want to hear it. What do you think the consequences are of willful ignorance to things going on, just either in our own circles or maybe more broadly in society?
I think the greatest consequence is death. Because people's lives are at stake and people's lives have been lost. Like, I personally lost people to COVID. But really, we are so disconnected from each other in some ways that we don't really see how much we have to lose collectively. And I think having a temporary feeling of safety because you happen to be in a zip code where, you know, there isn't environmental pollution specifically attacking you, that doesn't mean that in 10 years or less, you won't be in that same situation. So I feel like it really means, you know, if you're in Macomb, if you're in Grosse Pointe, if you're in Ann Arbor, if you're in Flint, if you're in Detroit, like, we actually need to really think about how much we have in common in order to keep us alive and sustain us collectively for, like, many generations to come.
You've had a few projects lately that tie into your love for comics. One of them is a single that you released last year called Jean Grey. It's a reference to the X-Men character. And like with Jean, there's a lot of duality in this song between inner demons and external fights. Could you talk a little bit about what you were hoping to capture?
It was kind of written as a freestyle, I'm going to be honest. Like, I was just kind of going for when we had the track started. Jean as a character is someone who has this immense power, and it's the power of literally her emotions and her thoughts and her will. That's when it came to me. Power I couldn't name. Empathy I could give. High insecurity. Buckle under the weight. I love this telepathy, So yeah, it was about, for me, like, the strength of my will, and not in, like, an aggressive way, but just, okay, I have way more power than I realize. Like, the power of my thoughts can really, like, alter my reality. And in those moments where I feel really powerless or vulnerable or scared, I'm not alone in that. And I can not only draw strength from knowing that I'm not alone, but I can, like, show other people how much strength they have too.
I love the comics thread. And I know that you've been in early work on an interdisciplinary exhibit at the Cranbrook Art Museum next fall. Music, visual art, and performance that draws a lot of inspiration from the comics world. X-Men is such a strong parable for a lot of queer and non-binary readers, or really anybody who kind of feels out of step with a society that's not okay with them and the way that they were born. Can you tell us a little bit about your history with comics and what titles you've been into?
I mean, it's primarily been X-Men, and I think the thing about X-Men that is so appealing is that even though the diversity is still a little too allegorical and not, like, literal in the comics, I think that the allegory is still really powerful of, you were born in a way that makes you an outcast. You're not necessarily a hero. You're not a shining example of democracy. You're not Captain America. You're not Wonder Woman. You're a freak. The thing that makes you an outcast, the thing that makes you potentially ugly or scary, is the thing that brings you a family and is a thing that actually brings you power. So I feel like that's such a powerful metaphor. And that's why queer audiences, I think, are really drawn to it. So what I'm doing with Cranbrook is we kind of have partnered on this project where I will be kind of actually writing and directing a short film. And the film will have a sonic landscape of new and old music of mine, but will also exist as an installation when the film premieres at Cranbrook. It's influenced by comic books. It's also influenced by growing up working class and growing up in a place like Flint. And just the experience of being poor, being working class, there are these moments that really feel, I guess surreal is the way I can put it, but it just feels like some of the things that you go through just trying to survive and exist as a poor person, it's the sense of powerlessness sometimes. And then the things that you have to do materially and psychically, like in your mind, to survive in spaces where it doesn't really seem like possible to survive. So I wanted to, like, in this film and in this series, like, personify those things in our social infrastructure that work against really Black people's agency. But also, I'm trying to illustrate the actual power and magic that we possess to, like, fight back and change that material reality. I feel like I'm giving my master's thesis now.
I'm here for it. So, as I mentioned, this residency that you'll be doing with the University Musical Society at the University of Michigan involves a series of participatory performance works. What's it going to look like? I mean, how are you asking people to interact with you in the creative process?
So with this one, I worked with a friend, Paul Trillo, to create these augmented reality face filters just for Instagram. Because I was like, all right, this is just like an easy thing that we can try and to allow people to make some of their own content for the song. I'm also inviting some artists to talk about pop music because this is a pop song, and it's always really interesting as a Black artist to release a pop song because there's all these assumptions about who's allowed to write pop music really and who kind of has, I guess I would say culturally, the innocence to really be a pop artist. I also think about who are pop idols, and like a Harry Styles or Taylor Swift, their fandoms kind of associate them and give them this purity and innocence. And like, I don't know if Lizzo gets the same treatment, or Normani, for example, or Rihanna. Like, I just feel like we have a certain view in our society of who is pure and innocent and who isn't. So yeah, I wanted to bring some friends together to talk about that. And so I'll have a friend her name is Sienna Liggins. She's a pop artist and writer from Michigan. Shara Nova, who performs as My Brightest Diamond, and Ali Alexander, who's the lead singer of Years and Years and an actor. So we'll just be talking about all these social cultural intersections of pop music. So that's another piece to just get folks into a conversation. But as we progress into next year, like, I'm going to be trying some other new things to really bring some emotionality into virtual interactions with music. We're going to try something pretty ambitious with dancing. I don't want to give too much of that away also because I want to make sure we can do it, but I have kind of some wild ideas about how we can invite people into the space with us to, like, create some new content around the songs.
Yeah. You're never far away from, you know, letting us know what you're thinking and feeling about what the country's going through and what the music can mean and what it should mean. But at the same time, your music is often so joyful. And I know it's meant a lot to people in a year when there's been so much sadness and so much grief. How do you hold on to that joy?
I guess I will say I'm so grateful and always just shocked that the music I'm a part of or work on is anything to anyone. Like, I will just say that it's really an amazing feeling to share that and for people to get anything out of it. And then personally, I don't want to say it's luck. I don't want to say it's good fortune, but maybe it's a coping mechanism I developed through through personal trauma. I don't know. But I've just always been able to, kind of generate that in any situation I'm in. So maybe that's just what's translating into the music, is that natural defense mechanism.
Is this a, you know, has this been a year when the joy has been hard to hold on to?
No, I don't think so for me. I think what it's been is like trying to hold a lot of things in your arms and not knowing how. I don't feel sad or scared about that, but it's a challenge that I'm trying to undertake, is like, how do you care for people and be connected to people that you can't necessarily see or touch? So I've been really focused on like having regular interactions and regular things that I can always look forward to. And I'm so lucky that I'm in a city that I can walk out and just be outside. And like, nature has just been so healing and comforting for me right now. Like I said, I kind of went through all those stages like in March and just really put my mind in the state, and it made myself accept what was going to be happening this year. And I really need to thank my mother, because she called me on like March 8th and said, Tunde, this is going to be serious. You know, she really helped me like make peace with that. And I don't know if this happens with everyone, but like, people that have been in my life for years and we're having conversations that we've never had before, and I'm learning things about their history and past that like, that they're unpacking because they're being forced to, or they have time to. So that's really been a lot of my emotional life, is like getting myself together early this year, just saying like, all right, this is what it's going to be. And then how can I be there emotionally for the people in my life who are going through it now?
Well, Tunde, we thank you so much for the work, but it's also just awesome to know that there's somebody out there who's still got some time for some learning and introspection and joy. Thanks for talking to us about all of this.
It's really great talking to you. Thanks.
Tunde Olanaran is a Flint-based musician and one of the artists in the University Musical Society's Digital Artist Residencies. Their new single, WDWHI, is out today. Support for arts and culture coverage on Stateside is provided in part by the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs. We don't